Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, the King, our Savior. Amen. Last week I preached on the assurance of salvation, and I talked about how God wants you to know and be sure that in Christ you are saved and have eternal life. So be assured. Now that being said, we also want to talk today about a related subject, namely, can you lose your salvation? In other words, once you've been saved and having been justified by faith, is it possible to slip, fall, and then lose eternal life and be lost again? Is it possible to fall and be damned after having once been justified? Is it possible to lose your salvation? Now, why is this an important subject for us? Well, if you imagine yourselves as castaways in the sea of death and being passed over by the billows of sin, God has come along by grace and plucked you out of the waters and brought you aboard his ship of salvation. Now, as you sail in the ship, don't you think it'd be a good idea to know whether it's possible for you to slip off the deck and fall into the drink again and to be drowned and to go down into the dark, fathomless abyss below? Is it possible to fall and slip off the deck, or once saved, always saved, as it is sometimes taught? So this is our subject today. Can a person, once having been saved, ever lose his salvation? What's God want us to know about this? So you ready? First thing to know is that there are many different teachings out there in visible Christendom, preached by the various popular preachers of our day on this subject. And some of them, for example, you've probably heard on the radio. Adrian Rogers, Tony Evans, Charles Stanley, who have at various times blessed me a lot in their preaching. They propose and propound the mostly Baptist and also Pentecostal doctrine of eternal security, which is once saved, always saved. Let me give you some quotes then from Charles Stanley. How many have heard of him? Okay, here are some quotes from him of eternal security. It's the gift of salvation once received is possessed forever and cannot be lost, he says. Then he says, quote, the Bible clearly teaches that God's love for his people is of such magnitude that even those who walk away from the faith have not the slightest chance of slipping from his hand. You can't fall off the ship. Even if a believer, for all practical purposes, becomes an unbeliever, his salvation is not in jeopardy. Believers who lose or abandon their faith will retain their salvation. And one more, he says, there's a Christian who at no point in his life bore any eternal fruit, and yet his salvation is never jeopardized. So that's one way you can approach this question. At least that's out there. The other preachers, of which there are many and thousands, at least 6,000 of which are LCMS pastors, teach a different view that it is possible to lose your salvation after having once been saved. For our confessions in the Formula of Concord on the article on Good Works say, faith, however, does not remain in those who lead a wicked life, lose the Holy Spirit, and reject repentance. So, which is right? We got Luther, etc. on one hand. We got evangelicals on the other hand. Charles Stanley, etc. Who's right? Lutherans or evangelicals? Well, as we did last week, let's not concern ourselves with the words of man and argue between Luther and Charles Stanley and the like. Let's concern ourselves with the Word of God to get the answer on this. For God's clear about this. Now let's ask this question again. Can a person lose his salvation once having been saved? Is it possible? Can a person make shipwreck of his faith? And we'll go through this. Let's see. Start out here with 1 Timothy 1, verse 18 to 20. Paul says, this charge I commit to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophetic ordinances which pointed to you, that inspired by them, you may wage the good warfare, holding faith in a good conscience. Now watch this. By rejecting conscience, certain persons have made shipwreck of their faith, among them Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So there you have at least the example of Hymenaeus and Alexander making shipwreck of their faith. Now we'll go into another one. 2 Timothy 2, verse 16 says, 2 Timothy 2, verse 16 says, avoid godless chatter. It'll lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will eat its way like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth by holding that the resurrection is past already. So Hymenaeus and Philetus swerved. They're shipwrecked and swerved so far. Let's go for another one. In Colossians chapter 4, you hear about a guy named Demas. You ever hear of him? Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. He's a co-worker with Paul. Paul is proud of him. He loves him. He's a fellow worker for Christ. Then you get, though, to a later in his life, 2 Timothy 4, Paul says to Timothy, do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. So far, Scripture holds out that at least there are these who fell, Hymenaeus, Philetus, Alexander, and Demas, amongst others, who did what? Shipwrecked, swerved, and deserted. Okay? That's as far as we are so far, but now we need to ask the question, did these people ever believe, though? Because some people say that, well, if someone falls away, they were never really a Christian. Well, let's see whether they actually believed or not. You heard there he made shipwreck of his faith. He had faith, right? And it was at one point right. Some swerved, means they were on the right path. But let's look at another one here. Luke chapter 8, the parable of the seeds and the sower. Remember that one? Jesus says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who've heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts that they may not believe and be saved. That's the first scenario. But then the ones along on the rock, that fell on the rock, are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. So what's that say to you? They do what for a while? A little louder, please. They believe for a while, and then what do? They fall away. How can you fall unless you were standing at one point, right? So there you have a word that there are those who believe and then fall. Matthew 24, Jesus of the last days says, and then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, let's take a look at this one. Paul's talking about false teachers that are going to lead astray some people. And he says this, for if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overpowered, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. It's happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog turns back to his own vomit, and the sow is washed only to wallow in the mire. So what's Peter say there? They did what? They escaped the defilements of the world. How? Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they were what? Washed. But then they turned back like a pig to the mud, says Peter. And he says, in that case, it'd be better if they were never saved in the first place than to have been saved and then to turn back from the holy commandment. Are you following me here? Okay, so is it possible, therefore, to fall? Yes. Yes is the answer, and we're going to see that even more in the scriptures ahead. But 1 Timothy 1:19 says, by rejecting conscience, certain persons have made shipwreck of their faith. So if you are all standing on the deck, confident and competent in your sailorhood on God's ship of salvation, praise God. God wants you confident and assured. But also, he wants you to beware of slipping because the deck rolls this way and that. Let's ask another question then. Charles Stanley, Tony Evans, and the like would say, well, if they fall, if they turn away from Christ, they lose, though, not eternal salvation, but they only lose their earthly blessings. They don't get to live with the joys of the Christian life, but they're still saved. Is that true? Well, let's take a look at another scripture, okay? Hebrews chapter 6. Now watch the wording here. This is really great, important for us. This is a word to us. Okay, for it's impossible to restore again to repentance those who have once been enlightened. Been what? Enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. Can you partake of the Holy Spirit without being saved? No, right? So you got the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come. If they then commit apostasy, since they crucify the Son of God on their own account and hold him up to contempt. Land, which has drunk the rain that often falls upon it and brings forth vegetation useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated, receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed. Its end is to be burned. So, burned. Let me ask you a question. Is that just losing the bonus points on your Club Med Christian vacation on earth? What does that language mean to you? Burned. Burned means damnation, right? That means you lose eternal rewards, eternal life. And so we want to beware of some of the teachings that's out there today. Paul says this in Galatians 5. For freedom, stand fast, therefore. Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and don't submit again to yoke of slavery. In other words, in this context, don't turn away from the gospel. We're justified by faith, not by works. Now I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he's bound to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. So what's it mean to you to say of no advantage to you? It means, in short, no advantage to you, right? What's severed mean to you? If I sever my hand, does it just lose the blessings of being part of my body? No. Well, that's part of it, but it is severed, right? So it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And there are examples in the earthly lives that I'm sure if you know or have heard of people who have believed for a while and then not and turned aside and given up on the faith. So what do we need? He who endures to the end will be saved. For it says in Hebrews 3:14, for we share in Christ if only we hold our first confidence firm to the end. It's great to start a race really fast, but you also want to end the race, right? If I start out in cross country, yeah, I'm in the lead, and then by the end of it I've given up, I still don't get the wreath, right? The prize, trophy. So how can this happen? How can you slip on the deck of God's ship? Well, I'd like to share about on the Californian. I sailed on the tall ship Californian years ago, and that was really the most dangerous ship I was on of the many schooners. And years later, I was sailing on the Spirit of Massachusetts up the East Coast. I remember one morning watch at about probably 7 or so in the morning, we got a message across the ship's radio that on the Californian on the Pacific Coast, someone had been lost at sea. They were sailing at night, and there was a sea running, and a breaker, a billow of the sea, broke over the ship, a big wave, and all the crew standing on the quarterdeck were knocked off their feet. They lost their stability. And when they got up and counted heads, one was missing, had been swept over the side. And what happened? What happened is basic lesson that you want to learn in tall ship maneuvering and living is you want to hold on to the ship. Can you all say that? Hold on to the ship. And not to speak poorly of this girl who was lost out there, but she was never found again. They searched for several days, Coast Guard, and eventually gave up the search. And what we need to know then as Christians are on the ship of salvation is you are safe, you are assured, you're secure, but God also wants you to know the deck is rolling and to have a healthy respect still for the power of the sea. The the sea of sin, the world, and the devil, for they are going to try to knock us off balance, that we'd lose our stability. Take Satan, for example. Now the serpent was more subtle than any other wild creature that the Lord God had made. What's that word subtle mean to you? Sneaky, tricky. As Luther would say, he skulks about this way and that, like a cat slinking through the grass. He's very tricky. And he's, guess what? He's got a file on each one of you. And he's got a file on me, metaphorically or figuratively speaking. He has a scheme and a plan and a design for every one of us to trip us up and to cause us to fall. Be sure of that. So we need to let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. I want to ask you, how's he doing today? Well, what does he do? He tries to get little inroads, a little sin here or there. Forgetting the word that we have from Paul, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Cleanse it out. Peter says, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith. And what's he after? You got to understand his tactic and his strategy. It's found here in Genesis 3, verse 1. The serpent was more subtle, and he said to the woman, did God really say, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? What's his aim? The word of God. That's it. If you hold on to the word of God, you will never fall. But the thing is he wants you to question it, to lead you astray from it, to get you too busy in life that you forget the word and therefore lose your own stability. That's his tactic. How's he doing? I challenged you on New Year's Eve, if you were here, to read a chapter of the Bible every day and to keep that word before you. How are you doing? Because he wants to catch you unawares. And as Peter says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, beware lest you be carried away with the error of lawless men and lose your own stability. Ever been on a rolling ship, on a deck, go this way and that? How do you stand? Like this? You don't hold on to anything? No, you stand with a seaman's legs with stability, and you grab onto something not that moves, but to something that is solidly attached to the ship. That's what we got to do. Lay hold with a solid stability onto God's word, onto Christ and his gospel. But if we sin, what happens? Paul says in Ephesians 4, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God in whom we are sealed for the day of redemption. If you sin, that doesn't mean you're divorced from Christ. If you sin in marriage, are you divorced? No. But if sin goes unconfessed long enough, it can lead to it, right? So what happens if it's unconfessed is you can wake up one day shipwrecked over the side. I have a friend, Dan, who was on the Pride of Baltimore 1, which was went down 250 miles north of Puerto Rico in 1986. And they were just sailing along at night, and all of a sudden they're hit by a white squall, which was wind miles up to 92 miles an hour. And the captain and three crew were lost at sea, went down with the ship, unable to escape. The other crew, eight of them, got onto the life rafts, which were only partially inflated. They had bad stores. They had contaminated water. But they survived for 4 days drifting around in the ocean till a Norwegian tanker picked them up. Well, this is what we got to watch out for. Be diligent, because the devil is going to try to knock us over. For if God did not, so don't become proud, but stand in awe, Romans 11. For if God didn't spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and severity of God, severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And so, are you with me today? What do we need then? We hold fast to the word. We hold fast to the gospel. You are justified by grace through faith. And we live it. You'll know them by their fruits. Ezekiel 18 said, if a wicked man turns away from his sin, God will forgive him, and he'll surely live. None of his unrighteous deeds will be remembered against him. But if a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, sin, and does the same abominable things that the wicked man does, shall he live? Says the Lord. None of his righteous deeds which he's done shall be remembered. He shall die. And so what we need is to hold fast to the Word. Take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. All right. Now, next question for you. Can you be restored? If you sin, can you be restored? Well, you know what? The answer is yes and no. It depends. Can a person be saved off of a ship? Remember when I first went on my first ship, the Westward, Captain Terry Hayward spoke to us, freshly aboard, new recruits, new cadets, new students. He said, if you fall overboard, we're going to do a man overboard drill now. If you go overboard at sea, your chances of getting back aboard are 1 in 10. He says, in daytime, if you fall over at night, forget it. Just kiss your life goodbye. So let's, what's that do to you? It puts the fear of God into you, right? It's very hard. If there's any sea action at all, it's very hard to see a human being out there. So if we say we have no sin, deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you can sin and still be married to Christ, but need forgiveness and be saved, right? You can slip, but regain your stability. But what about a person who commits total apostasy? Well, we have that word from Hebrews chapter 10, which card I took out, but I have it right here, don't worry, and I have it here. For if you go on sinning deliberately, go on sinning deliberately, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. A man who has violated the law of Moses dies without mercy at the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the man who has spurned the Son of God and profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And in Hebrews 6, it's impossible to restore that person again to repentance. So, how do you feel today after this message so far? Remember Esau? He sold his birthright for a single meal. And you know that afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. Does this change your perspective on sin? You know, if you're preached to, if you get preaching like Charles Stanley, Adrian Rogers, Tony Evans, who have a lot of good sermons that help, but if they teach you this kind of stuff, what's it going to do to you? Welcome aboard the ship of God's salvation. We're going into rough seas, perilous waters, rocks here and there. The ship will make it, but, you know, don't worry about whether you're going to make it or not, because in terms of slip on the ship, it's impossible. Is that the way you'd go to sea? What did it happen when Captain Terry Hayward said, if you go over during the daytime, you get a 1 in 10 chance? What'd that do to the crew? It preached us insecurity in order to do what? Make us secure, right? If we didn't get that message, we'd be walking around over vainly confident, not realizing the danger. But you get that message from the captain at the start of your sail, and all of a sudden, that makes you secure. I ain't never going nowheres, right? I'm going to hold on to this ship. I'm not turning aside. I'm going to be careful. Because if I go over the side at night, I'm kissing my life goodbye. Forget it. I'm going to stay on the upwind side of the boat, so I got a long way to slide before I'm over. And that's what they teach, too. So when God gives you this message today, guess what? He wants you to be confident and assured of your salvation. I am saved. I'm on the boat of Christ. I'm going to heaven. But with this message, he also says, be warned that you need to hold on to me, firm to the end, for we share in Christ if we hold only our first confidence firm to the end. He makes you secure by preaching this teaching of insecurity in order to secure you in Christ. That, as Peter says, if you add to your faith virtue, you know, brotherly love and all these things Dan read about last week, then you shall never fall. Never fall. Then there shall be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of God, our Savior. And we're going to help each other on the ship. Look after each other. Encourage each other daily as we see his day drawing near. And in conclusion, I'll say this. What's my confidence then that I will endure to the end and be saved on this ship? Well, on the one hand, I think to myself, it'd be silly to let go, so I ain't going to do that. Got to hold fast. But it's not my strength that I'm looking for, ultimately. It's God's strength. That God who has called me, who has elected me, who has saved me by grace, will himself hold me by grace in the gospel of his Son and in his cross. As it says, he who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5 and Philippians 1. I am sure that he who began a good work in you, he will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Our captain is committed with all of his heart and soul to the safety of his crew. He's going to preserve and keep you guiltless and faithful in the faith until the end. Let's then hold fast to him with fear and confidence. I'll conclude then with this hymn from our hymnal. Rise to arms, with prayer employ you. O Christians, lest the foe destroy you. For Satan has designed your fall. Wield God's word, a weapon glorious. Against each foe you'll be victorious. Our God will set you o'er them all. Is Satan strong and fell? Here is Emmanuel, sing his praises. The strong ones yield to Christ our shield, and we as champions hold the field. Amen.